It's religion today, it's ideology today, and our secularist friends also have a faith.
Some kind of Disneyland fantasy.
I know how this is going to get heard in the secular world.
Where the pseudo-Christian masks are off.
That's nonsense, ladies and gentlemen.
Apologetics isn't just about giving answers to other people's questions. It's also about learning to question other people's answers or even question the question itself.
In a Christian worldview.
Welcome to Quantum number 58. This time, we're in a very different place from Sydney. Have a listen to this music and see if you can guess where we're at. Yep, that of course is Shetland fiddle music, and I am recording this from my guest house in Lerwick, having just been and done a wee studio visit with the BBC, and I'm here at the Shetland Bible Week. Now, Shetland is such a fascinating place. It's about as far away from Sydney as you're going to get, and it's a beautiful, beautiful area of Scotland. And you know, it's really fascinating that you come here and the person who meets you off the plane is somebody who was in your church in Sydney. And then you meet other people who've been down in your church in Dundee, or connections in different ways. And you realize that the Christian family does extend all over the world and that there's a tremendous amount to be encouraged by. So let me just reflect a couple of items of news from Shetland. The one is the proposal here to have several giant wind farms. I really, really hope that doesn't happen, because it would absolutely destroy this landscape and it would do a great deal of harm to the wildlife. It just seems one of the madder proposals that we're getting into. And of course, it would provide loads of money, not for the local community, but for landowners and others. And then the other is the Shetland by-election, where the Lib Dems held on to their seat despite a strong challenge from the SNP. And again, just as a general observation, I'm just amazed at how this gets spun. So the SNP seriously thought they had a chance of winning it. Nicola Sturgeon, who's only been up here a couple of times in the whole of her reign as First Minister, was up three times in the past few weeks. And they really did think they had a chance to win it, and I'm afraid they didn't win that. But just for me, it was just an interesting take on the whole spin of things. Now, another thing that Shetland's known for is the drama series. A lot of people have asked me about going to Shetland who've never been here, and they have an image of it being somewhat grey because of the police series based on Shetland. I actually think it's a brilliant drama series, although it doesn't really reflect life here. It's kind of like Midsummer Murders. It has lots of murders, and you'd think half the population are being killed here. I think there's been one murder in the past 40 years in the whole of Shetland.
This is just really risky, Tosh. If we call them and then they panic, then they could kill both the girls.
But speaking of police, and that is a police series, I see that Police Scotland are now introducing a gender-neutral cap. This is to reflect a safety policy for, or a welcoming policy for, trans and bi-gender people. So I don't think we're going to be able to refer to police men anymore or police women. It's going to be police people. Now let's move on for what is a momentous week in the United Kingdom in terms of politics being reported all over the world, and we cannot avoid Brexit much as I would want to.
Shame on you! Shame on you!
Are we going to stop our unelected Prime Minister trashing our democracy like the Bullingdon Club wants trash restaurants?
Stop the coup! Stop the coup! Stop the coup!
Somebody said to me, you can't really comment on Brexit when you're in Australia. In fact, that was Mike Russell, the Scottish government minister, who suggested that my perspective would be distorted by being in Australia. Well, I think he was wrong. I have the same sources as I had here. Although I must admit that being here in the United Kingdom is so depressing, because there's this kind of mass hysteria that's gripped, not ordinary people, but certainly gripped the elites and the middle classes. And it's astonishing watching it on television. So here's an example of the kind of thing that's going on.
Well, we've defeated dictators in the past in our history, and we will defeat this dictator under Johnson.
Hitler, Mussolini, Putin, coup, Boris's coup. This is the kind of language that is being used, and this is being repeated, it seems, almost endlessly. There's been no coup. Well, let me put it this way. There's been no coup in the sense of the Prime Minister creating one, although it does appear that MPs who are opposed to Brexit have taken over control of Parliament and are seeking to prevent the referendum being enacted. But I still wouldn't call that a coup. But it's this kind of hysterical language that really is not helping. It seems as though people are just being driven mad by this. And all the name-calling and everything else that's going on is so, so, so depressing. There was a march for people who were against Brexit. There's a man walking with a guillotine. Others shouting at people being fascists, and others threatening violence. And I'm sure the same goes on the other side as well. It's the atmosphere is absolutely horrible. And I largely blame our politicians and media. Although it has to be said that a lot of people in the church seem to be joining in as well. Recently, I've heard well-known evangelicals saying we should be praying for Boris Johnson to be out. And then people using prayer, weaponizing prayer as a political process. I've just finished responding someone saying we should pray for the 21 Tory rebels who got fired because they deserve it. No, we don't pray for people as a reward because they deserve it. And we must not politicize prayer. I have my own views on Brexit, but I can't turn the gospel into something which is just about a particular political view or used for that purpose. And then another example of the madness is this. Philip Lee, who defected, a Conservative MP, who defected to the Liberal Democrats. The chairman of the Liberal Democrat LGBT wing has resigned because Philip Lee is somebody who voted against same-sex marriage. It's the intolerance of the Liberals that just is absolutely breathtaking. On the BBC this morning, I heard a One Nation Conservative saying, you know, progressive society is compassionate society. And again, they don't see the arrogance in that, because are people who don't buy into the progressive thing, are they not compassionate at all? It really is just British society does seem to be eating itself, and very few people are actually helping. Let's switch away from Brexit, because there are other things going on in the world that are just as important, in fact, more important. What's going on in Hong Kong just now is really quite astonishing. I saw an amazing clip where obviously a chemistry graduate has worked out how to nullify tear gas. But the Hong Kong leader, Carrie Lam, has withdrawn the extradition treaty, which was the initial cause for the protests. We'll see what happens there. I mean, the protesters are incredibly well organized. But again, I'm a little bit disappointed how this disappeared from our news. We do need to pray for the people in Hong Kong and in China. In Argentina, we need to pray there as well, because Argentina has imposed currency controls and its economy is in deep trouble. In Africa, 2,000 people in the Congo have died from Ebola. Where do we hear about that in our news? You know, we've trivialized things so much that an argument about leaving a political union is seen as much more important, as a greater disaster, the greatest crisis since the Second World War. than a lot of the other things that are going on in the world. Anyway, speaking of that, let's go to Australia and let's go to the Anglican Church and let's hear a bit of this story.
A love story almost too good to be true. Two priests who found love 20 years ago.
I didn't believe in love at first sight, but within several weeks of knowing this man, I looked and I thought, I would love to walk with him for the rest of my life.
Oh, he's a lovely man. That's good enough for me.
Rob and John, unlikely poster boys, soon to be the first same-sex couple in Australia to be blessed by the Anglican Church. The Synod of the Diocese of Wangaratta overwhelmingly voting 67-18 to allow blessings for those who have been married in a civil ceremony. Wangaratta Bishop John Parks...
Two Wangaratta priests, two Anglican vicars are going to get a blessing for their same-sex partnership or marriage or whatever, and one Anglican synod has voted to allow same-sex marriage. Now, what is going to happen here? Because you have one of the most conservative Anglican synods in the world in New South Wales, in Sydney, and then you have the likes of Brisbane or Melbourne, which do not share that, or Perth. And again, it's part of the church tearing itself apart. And not tearing itself apart because of a trivial issue, but because it tolerates people within the church who are prepared to go directly and deliberately against the word of God and against what Jesus says. Well, there will be a day of reckoning, and that's not a threat. What I'm just simply saying is that come the day of judgment, we all have to answer for what we have done with the word of Christ. I wonder if these men actually believe in the judgment day. Now, along this same subject as well, there's a fascinating article and fascinating news coming about the gay gene. Now, a number of years ago, the big argument that was being used in the Anglican Church and in other churches was, well, God made us that way, and their genetic components, people were gay because of their genetic makeup. And scientists have been hunting for the gay gene for a long time. Now, I know some radical gay rights people who don't want that found because they would argue being gay is their choice and they don't want it being treated like some kind of illness or some chemical thing in which they can people could genetically engineer, I suppose. And I have a deal of sympathy with that position. However, this latest research suggests that there is no single gay gene. There may be some genetic factors, but they're between a maximum of 5 and 25%. And that is a hugely significant finding in lots of ways. So it seems as though societal and cultural factors are far more significant and far more important. Let's come back to the intolerance of contemporary society. So, Chick-fil-A, of course, they are seeking to have a branch in Kansas University, and some students and some administrators and lecturers want to prevent that happening. The usual stuff, because Chick-fil-A have supported the Salvation Army and other organizations which do not recognize same-sex marriage, they must be homophobic, etc., 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 and yawn, yawn, yawn. The only thing that's different about this for me is that we've actually got someone arguing that having Chick-fil-A on campus takes away from the health and safety of other people, not because of the food, but simply because of the ideological association. Unbelievable. But maybe not as unbelievable as students in the University of New South Wales, where female students who want to be engineers are going to be set a grading mark of 10 marks lower than male students. Now, what's wrong with this? The attempt is to try and help more women into engineering. Well, there's so many things wrong with it. First of all, it's utterly demeaning to women because it implies that they're stupider. It doesn't deal with the core issues of why less women want to do engineering. It itself is a form of social engineering because it says that we want to have 50-50 in engineering. But do you want 50-50 in, let's say, nursing? Do you want 50-50 in every other job? Do you want 50-50 in, let's say, more physical jobs? So why is this the case? And why treat, why offer this level of discrimination? And what if I'm a male student who says, you know this, I'm going to identify as a female? Again, we're back to this crazy teaching about gender. Why can't we just let males be males and let females be females? And those who are struggling with the issue, let that be the case. But let's not try and engineer it so that we've got to have 50-50 male-female engineers. Okay, now I want to do something just a wee bit different, and I want to go to some clips I want you to hear, because I thought they were significant. And one is Dave Rubin having a discussion with Brendan O'Neill.
I call myself a left-wing libertarian. I mean, it's not the most accurate term. It has various failings, but I think it's probably the best fit for me.
A lot of people watching already probably, antennas going up. What do you mean left-wing libertarian?
Yeah, exactly. So a lot of people think it's a contradiction in terms, right? Because the left has become so incredibly authoritarian, so censorious, so divisive, so difficult to deal with. You know, there are so many problems with the contemporary left that if you have the word left in the same sentence as the word liberal or libertarian or freedom, people think that's a contradiction in terms. So I completely understand that. But I see myself as coming from a tradition where leftist people were in favor of freedom. They were in favor of freedom of speech. They were in favor of countercultural experimentation. They were in favor of allowing people to make jokes, to write books, to create art, however offensive it may have been. So there is a left tradition which does value freedom, which does value liberty, which does value choice. And I see myself as coming from that tradition. Unfortunately, that tradition is fading away, so people like me seem quite eccentric, but I still think it's worth holding on to.
Yeah, so I hear you, brother. I'm in that pool myself. Mm. Do you find that...
They talk about the God-shaped hole as something missing in liberalism. And it's fascinating to hear Brendan O'Neill say that he's an atheist and it's very difficult to fill it. The reason it's very difficult to fill it is because you need God to fill the God-shaped hole. The key problem is not, as he says, the Enlightenment idea of tolerance being changed into relativism. The key problem is that without God, we cannot have the values that we would want, equality and diversity and so on. We cannot have the morality that we would want. There is a God-shaped hole because human beings are made in God's image. And O'Neill really needs to know Augustine's teaching, where he said, our hearts were, his famous prayer, our hearts were made for thee and they are restless until they find their rest in thee. Liberal society, conservative society, any society will not find a way to fill the God-shaped hole without God. But not according to Ricky Gervais. Listen to this, and this is put across by some of my atheist friends as brilliant. I would be very disappointed if my Christian friends listening to this could not answer it, but let's listen to it and then I'll have a wee go.
The human brain, when it's young, is a sponge. It has to be. It has to take in all the information. It has to trust its parents, its elders, to survive. Without question, don't touch the fire. Why not? Don't go near the don't go near the wolf. Don't touch that spider with a red belt. Don't touch that. Why not? Just don't. There is a God. What? There is a God. And if you're bad, you go to hell. Okay? And if that's constantly confirmed, like all the other things, wolves eat you, black widows kill you, fires burn you, if it's given that same level of credence and truth, you're never going to get over it. It's going to be a lot harder. We know it's fun to tell children there's a Santa Claus. And there's fairies at the bottom of the garden and all these cute things. It's cute till they're 7 or 8. If they're 34, it's a bit embarrassing socially.
Okay, how do we respond to that? Well, he says, you know, if we weren't allowed to teach anything, God's beliefs, even atheism, until 20, we would have a lot more atheists. Well, why? It assumes that people are born atheists. It assumes that people only believe in God because they've been indoctrinated in the same way as maybe they've been taught about Santa Claus and fairies at the bottom of the garden. In fact, Gervais's snobbery is seen in that because he equates belief in God with belief in fairies. And he suggests that if you're 38 years old and you still believe in God, that it's embarrassing socially. Well, I don't share in that kind of snobbery, and I think that Gervais is not a historian, Gervais is not a sociologist, Gervais pontificates as somebody who is kind of all-knowing about the all-knowing, and he's just quite simply wrong. The child psychologist Dorothy Kellman argues that it's instinctive and natural for children to believe in God, and that we have to be educated out of that. It's why Richard Dawkins and others are so keen to educate young children, because they want to indoctrinate them into their atheist belief and away from the instinctive and natural belief that there is a God. So I don't think that Gervais's argument is particularly clever. I think it only appeals to those who already agree with it. And I think because he's humorous and witty. But, you know, Gervais should have to face up to his own teaching, because he should have to deal with people who actually know something about it instead of snidely and snobbily mocking those who don't share his point of view. He's certainly not going to be someone who fills the God-shaped hole. And then finally, I'm going to leave you with a piece of music. Now, we started off with Shetland music, and that was great. And we've reflected a little bit on some of the troubles in the world, including Brexit and the confusion of society in terms of gender. But God surprises us. Do you know that? In so many I am not without hope. Being here in Shetland, it's been absolutely tremendous to see different Christians getting together and how God works. You know, after the meeting last night, this man came up to me, tattooed all over the place, and he thanked me for the message and said he was a Jehovah's Witness. So this enormously tattooed Jehovah's Witness thanked me for the news that he heard about Jesus Christ. And, you know, there are many others who need to hear. And just ordinary people. Here are some celebrities, though, who I guess we wouldn't call ordinary. Stormzy and Ed Sheeran. I was sent this wonderful clip of Ed Sheeran being in a jamming session with, amongst others, Stormzy. Now, Stormzy fascinates me. And here, he and Ed Sheeran and others are singing and rapping about God's amazing grace. I think he gets it. I've listened to him speak, and I think he grasps it. And it's certainly what we need. Whether it's in Hong Kong, whether it's in the United Kingdom, whether it's in up here, the very north of the United Kingdom in Shetland, whether it's in Australia, whether it's in Africa with Ebola, whether it's in America or South America or just anywhere in the world, what we need is the amazing grace of God and the amazing good news of Jesus Christ. Well, God bless you, and we shall see you again next week. If you'd like to support Quantum, you know where to do so at the Podbean fundraiser. And if you've got any ideas or any comments, get back to me. May the Lord be with you.
I said a prayer this morning. I prayed I will find a way to another day. I was so afraid till you came and saved, came and saved me. And the rain was pouring, cause the sun faded away. I'm in a better place, no longer afraid, guided by your grace. Came and saved me.
Amazing grace that saved the wretch, and that prayer's all I got. Clear as day, I say spade to spade, if you're digging me or not. I'ma heal the world in words. You gon' heal a load of hurt. And I'm alright, cause my God's almighty. I ask for forgiveness. I sold my soul with my business. I sold it all when you're my witness. I even brought in my siblings. Plus I aborted my kids, then I hear the cries in the distance. That's something I have to live with. Still, I reply, I'm a Christian. I repent. Sacrifice all my bread. Give my time up for Lent. Every night say my prayers, cause sometimes I forget. And I swear every time I shouldn't. And cause of you, I care every time I shouldn't. But God made man in the light of his own image, so I shine right back. by my woman, she my better side. And my sun's like very bright, and my sky's like heaven's sight. And I drop down on both knees, and I raise my arms to exercise my love prayer, fuck prayer. When I die, let me get a white dove prayer. If God's working overtime, I shall not want unless I grind.
I said a prayer this morning, I prayed I would find a way to another day. I was so afraid till you came and saved. You came and saved me. And the rain was pouring, 'cause the sun faded away. I'm in a better place, no longer afraid, blinded by your grace. You came and saved me.